For our time this morning, I want to talk about that's my mama. That's my mama. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this time we have gathered in your presence. We thank you for this opportunity to celebrate you. We thank you for the opportunity to preach your word and to hear as you speak to and through and in and around us. Bless us, God, that we might see you more clearly and love you more dearly and follow you more nearly. We need your word, God, your word that saves, your word that heals, your word that delivers and sets free. We need your word. Speak to us. It is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Those of us who were around in the mid-70s probably remember the golden era of black sitcoms. You remember Good Times, What's Happening, The Jeffersons, Sanford and Son. One of the unsung gems of that era was a show called That's My Mama. It was set in Oscar's barbershop and the house attached to it. You may remember Oscar Curtis was the deceased husband of Mama Eloise Curtis. And their son, Clifton Curtis, played by Clifton Davis, was the owner and operator of the barbershop that he had inherited from his late father. That's My Mama presented a positive image of the black family. Mama Curtis, a strong black woman who had worked with her now deceased husband to provide a loving and stable environment and a comfortable home for their now grown children. The Curtis's adult children lived positive, productive lives, and their friends and associates all had jobs and were contributors to society. That's My Mama was a mother's knows best comedy with a middle class African American twist. I suspect that these positive images of black people and the black family were the principal reasons that the show only lasted two seasons on ABC. There was humor and witty, even socially conscious dialogue as part of the show, but there wasn't too much coonery and buffoonery. And well, then as now, TV was only interested in portraying black women as maids and sex objects, and black men as violent thugs and studs. The tone of That's My Mama was set in the prologue of its pilot episode, when Mama Curtis outsmarted Clinton and his best friend, Earl, the mailman, as they were arguing about nothing. Mama Curtis claims the spoils of her victory over the two young men, and an exasperated Clifton rolls his eyes heavenward and declares, "That's my mama." I think Jesus must have felt the same kind of exasperation when dealing with his mother, Mary, in John chapter 2. The scene is one with which most of us are familiar, the wedding at Cana. Jesus and his disciples show up by invitation to a wedding party, only to discover that Jesus's mother, Mary, is already there. We aren't told why she's there or what she's doing, though some biblical scholars suggest that she was part of the groom's family and was catering the affair. This would explain why she was concerned about the wine running out and why she was in a position to give instructions to the servants. You see, in the time and the place of the first century Palestine, weddings were major social events. They often lasted an entire week, with the groom's family footing the bill for the food and the drink consumed by guests. This week-long party culminated in the actual union of the bride and groom, but there was a lot of eating and drinking and being merry at the groom's expense before the actual wedding. In John chapter 2, the party has been going on for some time, perhaps even for days, which might explain the rather odd opening of John chapter 2, which says, "On the third day, when the wine began to run out." This posed a major problem in that culture because running out of wine would indicate that the groom and his family did not have the necessary resources to support his soon-to-be wife. Running out of wine would have been a scandalous occurrence. If word got out, it might even have caused the father of the bride to cancel the wedding. The clear implication of the text is that Mary was concerned about the repercussions of the wine problem. So she went to her son. She went to Jesus with a request that he do something about it. Her instructions to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you," indicates that she didn't know what Jesus would do, but Mary had faith that Jesus could do something about the situation. In John chapter 2, verse 3, Mary tells Jesus, "The wine has run out." And he responds in a paraphrase of verse 4, "We ain't got nothing to do with that, mama. It's not time for me to reveal myself to the world." Ignoring Jesus' response, and can I just tell you that as the son of a black mother, this is what really makes me believe Mary and Jesus and them were black. She just ignored her son's response, turned to the servants and said to them, "Do whatever he tells you." Then she walked away. And that's the last we hear from Mary. The next thing we know, the servants have, at Jesus' request, filled 6 water pots, about 150 gallons of water, and presented them to Jesus. And well, you know the rest of the story. Jesus turned the water into wine. Jesus showed up at a wedding with his boys planning to party. He had no intention of performing a miracle. But Jesus hadn't counted on the mama factor. As Mary walks away from Jesus and from the servants, having issued her parting instructions, I can imagine that all Jesus could do was roll his eyes heavenward and say to himself, like Clifton Curtis, "That's my mama." Jesus' mama was like many of our mamas. She loved her baby. And because of this love, Mary showed up unannounced. Mary sensed the unknown, and Mary said the unexpected. It's there in the text. As we celebrate Mother's Day, I praise God that my mother was like Mary, a God-fearing woman. And I can remember in my own life where my mother showed up unannounced. One time she showed up in a high school classroom right when I was showing out. I remember that my mother could sense the unknown. There were times in my life where she acted on what she felt, and even while it inconvenienced me at the time, when I look back, I can tell that action saved me a world of hurt. And I remember that my mother often said the unexpected. She would encourage me and give me strength that I didn't even know I had. And yet even as I celebrate all that my mother has done and is doing for me, and we look into the lens of the text and see what Mary did for Jesus, I'm also reminded that the God we serve blesses us in similar motherly ways. I know that it's a stretch for some of our theological constructs, but the truth of the matter is that God, whom we often refer to as Father, also mothers us. On this Mother's Day, I want to suggest that Father is not the only way that we can speak about God and God's love for us. Just as God's love is manifested for us in fatherly ways, I think we can also agree that God's love shows up in our lives in motherly ways too. The thing that keeps us from seeing this truth, that God is as much Father as God is Mother, is our fixation on burdening God with gender. Because for human beings, fathers are male and mothers are female, and because we've been conditioned to believe that God is male, because for the great majority of human history, especially in the Western world, only men wielded power, we're inclined to label God exclusively as Father. But our fixation on divine gender overlooks the truth that God is a spirit. God doesn't have gender because spirit doesn't have gender. That's what Jesus was trying to teach the Sadducees when they tried to trick him with a question on the resurrection. Read Matthew chapter 22 and 30 when you have a moment. God is spirit. That means God is neither male nor female. So when we use father and mother as metaphors to describe God, we ought to be careful that those terms are necessarily, when used in connection with God, genderless. Mother and father simply describe in sociologically based metaphors the ways in which God demonstrates God's love for us. God loves us like a father by providing for us, and God loves us like a mother by nurturing us. When mother or father are used to refer to God, it's just metaphoric language designed to help us better understand the character and the love of God. But remember, metaphor can never fully describe that which it is assigned to. Listen, God cannot be defined in human terms. The fullness of who God is cannot even be uttered by a human tongue. There's no denying that God mothers us. And as we come to worship God in Christ on this Mother's Day, I believe the interaction between Jesus and Mary, between son and mother at the wedding of Cana, can help us to see and to better appreciate and ultimately to worship our God, who, like a loving mother, shows up unannounced, senses the unknown, and says the unexpected. Think about it. Haven't you experienced God doing for you that which we see Mary doing for Christ in the text? Has God ever showed up unannounced in your life and changed your plans? Has God ever clued you in on some stuff that you would have missed except for God's revelation? Has God ever provided you with the encouragement that you needed to move forward? It's there in the text. Join me in this Mother's Day exploration. As the curtain rises on our text, Mary is already at a wedding party when Jesus and his boys show up. We're not told what she's doing there, but we may reasonably surmise that she's not a guest, because the text specifically notes that Jesus and the disciples had been invited, while the text offers no rationale for Mary's presence. According to John chapter 1, verse 1, Mary is just there. We're told that Jesus and the disciples had been invited, but Mary is just there. It would appear that she is the caterer and or a member of the family of the groom because she gives orders to the servants and they obey her. And further, it seems like she's personally concerned about the fact that the wine had run out. Both of these facts point to Mary as an insider. But nothing in the text prepares us for Mary's presence. Chronologically speaking, the last time we'd seen Mary in her son Jesus' story was when Jesus was 12 years old, talking with the elders in the temple in Jerusalem. And now, at the time of the text, it's some two decades later. Jesus is in his early 30s, and Mary is a middle-aged widow. Out of nowhere, she shows up large and in charge at a wedding party. And not only does she show up unannounced, she shows up with a request. Anybody had a mama like that? She always seems to show up large and in charge where you were least expecting her. In my younger years, my mother often showed up large and in charge with one hand on her hip and a belt in the other one. And when she showed up, she'd often show up with a demand that I do something that I'd rather not do, leaving me no real alternative because I knew it was going to be easier to just do what she said than to try to argue with her. In fact, when I was younger, I used to think my mother had a running list of the stuff she had pre-planned for me to do. It seemed like she would make demands of me at the most inconvenient time. But over the years, I learned better than to argue. I learned how to just do it and be done with it. Jesus showed up at the wedding party only to run into his mama, and here she is with something for him to do. From all indications, Jesus had never done a public miracle prior to turning water into wine. But here's his mama asking him to do the miraculous on the spot. There had been no warning. There had been no sidebar. And Jesus didn't tell Mary. Mary didn't say to Jesus, Junie's getting married next week and his money's a little short, so we may have to help him out with some wine. Mary just showed up unannounced and fully expects Jesus to do what she asked. And isn't that just like God? You ain't even thinking about doing ministry. You're at the mall shopping, in the grocery store, running in to pick up an item or two, at the barbershop trying to get your hair cut. And here, God sends somebody to you talking about, I need to talk. Would you pray for me? You're supposed to be on vacation, and your vacation gets interrupted by a divine assignment. Well, the truth is this, when God shows up unannounced with an assignment for you, you're better off doing what God asks than trying to give an excuse as to why you can't do it. Right. It's just easier to do what the Lord asks. You ain't going to win the argument anyway because God is persistent. And listen, telling the Lord I can't ain't going to get you nowhere. Because here's the deal, if you couldn't do it, God wouldn't have even asked you. The very fact that God asked you to do something is all the evidence that you need in order to be assured that you can do something. Mary showed up unannounced, but Jesus was already prepared to do the work. And Mary already knew he could do it because Mary knew what was in him. It's the same thing with God. God knows what's in you. In fact, God put it in you. And like a loving mother, God will show up unannounced with an assignment that will catapult you into your destiny. Listen, my brothers and my sisters, when God shows up unannounced and starts handing out assignments, it's just a setup. And if you let God, if you just do what God asks, God will bless you. But listen, not only does Mary show up unannounced at the wedding of Cana, Mary also senses the unknown. In this way, we also see her as a loving mother. And through the lens of her action, we can also see God at work in our own lives. Keep walking in the text with me. John chapter 2 and verse 3 says, "When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.' And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come.'" Like all mothers, Mary knew some things about her child that her child didn't know about himself. Wow. Yes, Jesus is the Son of God and Jesus is the Son of Mary. 100% divine and 100% human. And here in the text, Jesus's humanity is on display for us. In his humanness, Jesus is unsettled. He's uncertain. He's wondering about his future, the timing of his earthly ministry. Jesus tells his mama, he says, "Mama, it's not time for me to do my thing yet." But then he goes on to do his thing. And according to the Gospel of John, this is where Jesus takes the first step toward his destiny. All because his mother sensed the unknown. Though no one had said so, Mary knew that it was time for Jesus to step up. It's obvious that Mary knew something that Jesus did not know, that Mary understood that this was the moment that her son had been waiting for. Now, before you brand me a heretic for claiming that Jesus was not omniscient, let me make this Bible-based truth clear. Jesus self-restricted his own knowledge when he took on human form in order to pay the price for sin. It was Jesus's choice to come and to redeem humankind. It was Jesus's choice to self-limit his omniscient, God, omniscience. God knows all things. But within the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, there is information that Jesus the Son chose not to know while on earth in human form. Were there things that Jesus did know by virtue of his divinity? Yes. Jesus knew, for example, that Zacchaeus had climbed up a sycamore tree. And Jesus knew from time to time we would see that he knew the thoughts of the Pharisees. But Jesus chose not to know everything so that he'd be able to experience life as we do. Jesus chose to limit himself for us so that we could see ourselves in his life story. We all struggle with choices, and Jesus did too. We see his struggle with choices in the Garden of Gethsemane as he asked his father to let the cup pass from him so he would not have to die on Calvary's cross. And here in John chapter 2, Jesus also struggles with choice. A choice that his mama helps him to get through. Because like every good mother, Mary sensed the unknown. The wine ran out. And Mary senses what her son does not, that this is the time for him to begin his work. This is not just about supplying wine to people at a wedding. John chapter 2 is about Jesus' date with destiny, with the divine timing of God. It was Jesus' time to begin the work for which he'd come. And his mother's love, Mary's love for him, allowed her to sense what Jesus did not. It's what mothers do. Jesus wrestles with whether it's time to begin his ministry, and his mama makes clear to him that now is the time. Listen, if the wedding at Cana had not been the right time for Jesus to begin his ministry, then Jesus would not have turned the water into wine. I dare say that God is showing us something in this exchange between mother and son. God is showing us that a mother's love, her ability to sense the unknown, can provide clarity when a child is at a crossroads. Have you ever had a conversation with your mama when you weren't sure which way to go? And by the end of the conversation, everything you were wondering about, everything you were worried about, became clear. You see, that's a mother's love at work. And just as your mother did it for you, Mary does the same for Jesus. And when you think about it, our God does the same for each of us. God's love senses the unknown. And God's love leads us safely through uncharted waters into our destiny if we'll just follow the Lord's lead. Like a loving mother, the Lord senses what lies ahead, and he will lead and guide us. God's love shows up unannounced. God's love senses the unknown. And finally, the morning's text reveals to us that like a mother's love, God demonstrates his love for us by saying the unexpected. The text before us is a record of Jesus' first miracle. Jesus had refrained from action and activity that would have given away his divine nature all of his life. That's what he meant when he said in verse 4, "My hour has not yet come." And John 2, verse 11 reports the beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory. That means prior to this miracle, there had been nothing. But after this miracle at the wedding, it was on and popping. Before the wedding at Cana, Jesus' mother, Mary, had been privy to the truth that Jesus, her son, was the Son of God. She'd known it since the time that she was pregnant and Gabriel showed up to make the announcement. Mary already knew who Jesus was, but Jesus had done nothing to let the cat out of the bag. He had not yet manifested his glory. And yet Mary tells the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Where did that come from? How did Mary know that Jesus could fix the wine problem? Anybody had a mama like that in their life? She knew stuff about you that nobody else knew. She knew stuff you didn't even know. And it led her to say some unexpected things on your behalf. I mean, listen to what Mary says. She said, "My baby can fix it." I mean, we just talked about it. Mothers have the ability to sense the unknown, and it leads them to say the unexpected. I remember in my own life, it was my mama who told me that I could make it through my rough undergraduate years at Virginia Tech. As a freshman at Virginia Tech, I had an engineering fundamentals instructor who was determined that no black kids would get through his class. He said he didn't believe that black people were smart enough to be engineers. And he tried to end my college career, my freshman year. It was my mama who said to me, "You can make it through this." My mama knew something that I didn't know. And based on what she knew, my mama spoke the unexpected into my life, giving me strength to do what I was not certain that I could do. And I'm come to tell you that God is like that too. God sees beyond our right now and into our not yet. And because God loves us, It leads God to make some strange declarations. It leads God to say some unexpected things. God says, "For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." When the future looks dim and prospects seem dismal, God says the unexpected, and if you trust God, you can make it. God says the unexpected, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going out, blessed coming in. That's unexpected when all around seems to be going wrong, and yet God says it, speaks that word into our lives, and all we need to do is trust God's love. God, who loves us with a mother's love, shows up unannounced and senses the unknown and says the unexpected. And if you follow God's lead, it'll propel you towards your destiny. It's God's promise to us because of God's mothering love for us. God calls things that are not as though they were. And because God has all power, that which was not before God called it has got to answer and show up because God said it. God says the unexpected. When I'm sick, God says I'm healed. When I've been victimized, the Lord says I'm a victor. When life would leave me broken, God says I'm whole. When the world declares that you're messed up, God says you're made over. It's the love of God for you and for me, the love of a mother, compassionate and caring, relentless and redemptive. The Lord loves you and me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But God's love, God's mothering love, lifted me from the waters of sin and shame. God's love lifted me, loving me as only a mother can. I'm so glad God's love shows up unannounced and senses the unknown and says the unexpected. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Like a loving and fiercely protective mother, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through every day or all the way, God will take care of you. God will show up unannounced. God will sense the unknown, and God will say the expected. That's the way God loves us. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Mother, Son, and Holy Ghost. God, who loves us, shows up unannounced, senses the unknown, and says the unexpected, all because he loves us.